Morning. You have rightfully earned a restful summer ahead of you after studying so hard. How many of you attended a recent high school graduation ceremony? Quite a few. I attended my first for my elder daughter Sarah. She graduated from high school. Have you imagined? I guess in all of those occasions, a valedictorian or salutatorian or both will give a speech, right? In college graduation ceremony, the commencement address, normally a notable ex-president, a VIP type of former alumni would come to the college and give the commencement speech. Imagine that Jesus is invited to give such a speech. What would Jesus say? I'm sure one of the things he could have said is the passages that we just read. He could have preached from the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitude, and right after that he said, "You are the salt of the earth," and then, "You are the light of the world." So today I want to use that, be the salt and light, to encourage all of you, especially the graduating, the seniors who just graduated. We live in a world that especially need us Christians to bear witness as salt and light. Today there are a lot of icons. Just last week, one of the biggest icons, the king of the pop, Michael Jackson, died at the age of 50. And he's branded as one of the greatest icon in the last 2-3 decades, I guess. And then the TV show American Idol, I presume many of you have watched a few episodes of it. American Idol, or more recently the British version of their Idol, and the TV series Dancing with the Stars. I watch a few of them, very interesting. This country, they're trying to, you know, for better or for worse, for benefit most of the time, they're creating stars, icons that can bring in multi-millions of dollars for the business. But there's a problem. About in the mid-90s, one pastor who was invited to give a invocation at the Kansas House on January 23rd, 1996, he basically prayed a prayer written by another pastor, Bob Russell. So Joe Wright was basically reciting a written prayer by another pastor. This is what the prayer said. You may have heard it. Let's hear it again. And you know the problem with this country, this nation. And this is what Joe prayed, the prayer of Bob. "Heavenly Father, we come before you today to ask for your forgiveness and seek your direction and guidance. We know your word says, 'Woe to those who call evil good,' but that's exactly what we have done." It's a confession. "We have lost our spiritual equilibrium and inverted our values. We confess that we have ridiculed the absolute truth of your word and call it pluralism." We live in a pluralistic society and that value equally many different views. "We have worshipped other gods and call it multiculturalism. We have endorsed perversion and called it an alternative lifestyle." I presume that was referring to the homosexual lifestyle. We have exploited the poor and call it the lottery. We have neglected the needy and call it self-preservation. We have rewarded laziness and call it welfare. We have killed our unborn and call it choice. Pro-choice. We have shot abortionists and call it justifiable. Weeks ago we heard a story about that, one of the two notable late-term abortion doctors. He was shot dead in his church. We have neglected to discipline our children and call it building self-esteem. We have abused power and call it political savvy. We have coveted our neighbor's possessions and call it ambition. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and call it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and call it enlightenment. Search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Try us and see if there be some wicked way in us. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Guide and bless these men and women who have been sent here by the people of this state and who have been ordained by you to govern this great state of Kansas. Grant them your wisdom to rule, and may their decisions direct us to the center of your will. I ask this in the name of your Son, the living Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what Pastor Joe prayed, the prayer of Bob Russell. We live in a world that's in need of spiritual salt and in need of spiritual light. Just a few weeks ago, earlier in the year, you heard about the story Miss California, right? You heard about Miss California? She was a Christian lady from San Diego, and she was crowned, she was almost crowned Miss USA, if not for the fact that she answered a politically charged question with political insensitivity about the homosexual, the gay marriage, because one of the judges, a gay man, asked her the question how she viewed gay marriage. And she spoke her heart. She said, basically she defended the traditional value that she has been taught with. And for that, she never really had a chance to be the Miss USA. And more recently, in early June, one of the California high school prom night, during the prom, a teenage boy was crowned the prom queen. That's multiculturalism, that's pluralism, that's respect, mutual respect. A boy is crowned prom queen. Well, traditionally, queen belongs to a lady, right? A girl. So we live in an age and time that's basically, quoting the word you just read from Philippians chapter 2, in a crooked and a depraved generation. But God asks us to shine like stars in the universe. We live in a crooked and depraved generation, and such crookedness and depravity is right in the public debate forum, is in the limelight, and that's the world you are to inherit. That's the world you're going to change as witness of salt and light. When my daughter's high school, in the high school graduation ceremony, there was a little slogan that says, "Be the change, be the change." The principal said something like this: our generation, the me generation, they live for themselves, they live for their own self-interest. Can you, the new generation, live for the greater good, the society, and be the change, be the agent of change? You remember the catchphrase that Obama used in his presidential campaign? Yes, we can. be the change, right? So similar to that. Yes, we can. We are the change agent. And let me tell you, if Jesus were here teaching you today, he would say the same thing. You be the change. By being what? Because being the salt and light. Because this world is decadent, is without taste, or their taste is very anti-biblical, and is very lopsided, unbalanced in their view. And this world is without truth, without the biblical truth. And this world is sinful, and it's dark. That's the world you're living in. Let me pose you a SAT question. Salt is A, preservative, B, condiment, C, electrolyte, D, none of the above, D, all of the above, E, none of it. D, yes, good, good. You know your chemistry and physics very well. When Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth, I bet he has all of those three aspects in mind. Be the preservative of a decaying generation. Be the condiment of a generation that is without God's, the biblical taste. And be the electrolyte that serves to counterbalance the runaway and balance view, the society you're living in. Now, and Jesus next said, you're the light of the world. Light as we know it. Light shines and light illuminates, right? And in so doing, light reveals and light exposes. So those are the two metaphors that Jesus used in this short passage. You're the salt, you're the light. Let's analyze a little deeper the first metaphor. You're the salt of the earth. Salt as a preservative. Why does salt can be a preservative? Why is it? Why can't it be a preservative? It actually causes a lot of as an electrolyte all at the same time. It causes imbalance. It actually causes the germ cell to burst, you know, open because of the imbalance. And that's one mechanism. And also in high salt condition, most of the germs, they don't find it palatable. They don't find it very comfortable in living. So you're the salt of the earth, meaning in a spiritual manner. You're the salt that, just like salt can kill germs, you're also the salt, spiritual salt, that can kill or deter infesting germs of sin in the world. The more salt we have, the more Christian God's people we have, the less decadent the world becomes. That's a simple biblical truth. By the time the whole country turns into a lifestyle that's against the biblical teaching, and this whole world, this whole nation becomes a nation of mobs, sinners, depraved criminals. So salt kills the germ, and likewise we deter and kill the infesting germ of sin in this world. But that's the preservative part function. And then salt is also condiment as seasoning. A lot of good food without salt is bland, very without taste. So salt seasons our food and make it palatable for us to enjoy. And in that same line of reasoning, we, the children of God, also are to season our reasoning with salt in our outreach, in our sharing and witness of Christ to a lot of people or friends. So we are to season our reasoning with salt in our evangelistic outreach and make the biblical truth both challenging and palatable. If we make our gospel is very offensive to the ears and minds and hearts of sinners, it's very challenging in that sense. But we need to make it, season it with salt, with godly persuasion, with good conviction, with good reason, so that this very offensive and challenging gospel can be received with some gladness, can be received in a more palatable way. People can begin to take in the biblical truth, and they don't reject it outright simply because you present it in such a very high dose and offensive manner. So that's the second part. The third, as I said, salt is electrolyte in our body, in our cells, inside and outside. There is a perfect balance. If you don't have the perfect balance, let's say you have more salt inside the cell, what would that happen? Water will come in, right? It's trying to dilute the salt concentration inside the cell to achieve a new balance. What would that do if you have lots of water gush in inside the cell? It will burst the cell, right? And what happens if you have too much salt outside the cell? And then the water inside the cell will try to go out and counterbalance that. And what will that do? It will shrink the cell. So either way, that's not a perfect way of life. So salt balances the osmotic pressure and maintains cellular integrity under stress. And in the same way, we are to exert a counterbalancing influence against the dark and evil force in the world. There's dark and evil force around us. We cannot cave in. We cannot just give in. We have to stand up and stand on our ground and be the counterbalancing force, the force of good against the force of evil. But to do such thing is not easy. Jesus said, "You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men." Jesus cautioned here that he wants us to be the salt of the earth, but he cautioned us against the danger of losing our saltiness, losing our edge of Christian testimony. How does the salt lose its saltiness? That's another SAT question. First, it becomes polluted, tainted. Actually, the biblical word here, lose saltiness, it means become tainted. Become tainted, become impure. If you have a little salt and then you add lots of other stuffs to it, non-sodium chloride, let's say, you add many other things, it becomes not very salty. It loses its saltiness because the purity is not maintained. So to maintain our Christian witness, the edge, the sharpness, we need to maintain the purity of our life, the holiness of living. If you don't have that kind of purity, then it's really tough to maintain that kind of saltiness, to be a good witness. Just last week, I guess, South Carolina governor was found AWOL. He was in Argentina for 5 days, seeing for the last time, presumably, his mistress that he met over a year ago during a trip. A casual encounter led to their illicit relationship. And his wife found out early in the year and confronted about it. Fortunately, his wife is a good, godly Christian woman. She has that kind of integrity, that of sense, kind of the sense of right and wrong, and their responsibility for their four sons, young sons. So she kicked him out 2 weeks ago, a little over 2 weeks ago. So giving him time to meditate, to think, to come to his sins, and to reconcile eventually for the good of the family. But the guy took 5 days off, ditched his security details, and went to Argentina again, one last time, to see that woman, a married woman also. So, I presume the governor is a Christian too, a sinner in need of God's mercy. So when purity is not maintained, the holiness of living is not maintained, you basically open up an area for satanic attack. People can accuse you, even Satan can accuse you in front of God. This man is a sinner. He continues in sin. So to maintain that purity, especially for young people, you know, maintain that purity, wait, love can wait. No sex until you're in the bond of marriage. That kind of purity is important to maintain our Christian witness. So purity, number one. Second, integrity. What does integrity mean here? Integrity means the wholeness. It's not chemically decomposed. If you take sodium chloride and then take the sodium ion mixed with some other counter ion, amine, or take the chlorine and mix with some other metal ion, they are not sodium chloride anymore. They are chemically decomposed into something else. And in that way, it doesn't maintain the chemical integrity, and it will not have that saltiness, as simple as that. So purity, that's the physical integrity, I would say. And integrity here is the chemical integrity, the chemical wholeness, not decomposed to something else, recombined to something else. So to maintain the holiness of life, lifestyle, and the personal integrity, your character is unassailable. Your character is whole, is not blemished, is not decompressed, decomposed. So that's the second part. The third one is community. Can salt be salt if you only have a tiny little bit of it? You barely detect it, right? So a good chef knows exactly how much salt to put in the food to cook, because he knows if he gave too little salt, you barely sense it. If he gave too much, it's too salty. So to maintain the right level, you need the right mass, the community, the critical mass. You cannot give too little. Too little will not take it. And the Western Proverbs says, you take something with a grain of salt. A grain of salt, a truly visible grain of salt, you can still sense that saltiness. But if the grain of salt becomes so tiny, only one or two molecules, you're not going to sense that saltiness. Very simple. So to maintain our saltiness, not just the purity of our lifestyle, the integrity of our character, but also the community living, the community witness. You cannot be a lone ranger. You cannot be all by yourself. You have to be with other Christians. So whenever you go to college, find that body of believer, that community of saints, that you have a critical mass to confront the challenges ahead. So that's the saltiness part. Now the second part. You are the light of the world, the second metaphor. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Jesus here said, you are the light of the world. But in the Gospel book of John, in more than two occasions, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. In chapter 8, chapter 9, and then even in chapter 12, he said similar things. In my daughter's high school graduation party, the salutatorian, David, gave a very interesting speech, illumination. He used the light metaphor. And in the end, he even quoted a biblical scripture. I was a little surprised because he went to church only maybe a few times more recently. But apparently he searched the Bible and found a place. I hope he found all the places that talk about the light. God is light, you are the light. And so he quoted John 12, 35 to 36, where it says, then Jesus told them, you are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, before darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he is going. Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of light, children of light. So Jesus said, he is the light of the world, and you too are the light of the world. And in 1 John chapter 1, it says, God is light, in him there's no darkness. So light is used to describe both God and Lord Jesus Christ and all the believers, children of God, the children of light. And in James it mentions God as the Father of heavenly light. So when Jesus says we are the light of the world, what does he mean? As I said, light reveals, light exposes, light shines, light illuminates. So when he says we are the light of the world, he went down to explain it. He expounded this way. He said a city on a hill cannot be hidden. So a light is a visible thing. You cannot be hidden. So there's no such a thing as a secret Christian. You cannot hide your faith from other people. You need to make it abundantly clear by your deeds and words that you are a believer of Christ. You are a child of God. There's no such a thing as secret Christian. Some people, for the weakness of their faith, for a while they may not want to share their faith. They fear. They have that fear in their heart to share. If they share their faith with others, people, how would other people will look at them? Don't worry about it. There's nothing to be ashamed of, because we are the light, children of light. What deserves people that really need to be shamed are those who are doing unrighteousness, those who are living a lifestyle that's contrary to biblical teaching. And strangely enough, in this nation, in this world, those people, they are very vocal. They are very outspoken, and they want to impose their lifestyle on us. They want to teach young as five kindergarten children, about alternative lifestyle. That's amazing how rampant the evil is in this world. The alternative, anti-biblical, ungodly lifestyle is championed, is being educated. And yet, the children of light, we shun away from public witness. That's a great irony. Don't you think it's a great irony? Okay, we need to live a life of light, a transparent life of righteousness. There's no timidness. There's no shyness. There's no embarrassment. Speak it up. Be vocal. As vocal, if not more, than those people that are out there trying to impose their way of thinking. And of course it means also this: we don't live a double personality, a life of double personality. We don't have a bipolar syndrome. We don't have a schizophrenic lifestyle. We don't have the split personality. We put up a good face on Sunday, and then we put up another kind of face in other days by living a double lifestyle, or have a dark side of it. The governor I just talked about, he lived it for a while, a double life. He has a dark secret to it, to himself. And our governor 5 years ago, Governor Jim Grevy, you know that, he publicly pronounced that he is gay American, with his wife standing by his side. Very sad, I suppose. And then just a few months ago, the New York governor, Governor Spitzer, he had a dark secret. He was seeing hookers, right, in D.C. area. So that's not a life that's characterized by a life of light, a life of righteousness. It's a double. So this, we have no part with the double or dark side of our life. And the second thing is to light exposes. Light exposes sins within ourselves and without. That means we live a life that's mutually accountable. We live a communal life that's mutually edifying, that's mutually illuminating, that's mutually accountable, responsible. So we don't live a life just on our own. We live a life that's mutually acceptable, edifying, helpful. That's the second part of it, about light. And the third, of course, light illuminates. Illuminates what? Illuminates truth, God's truth. We become a beacon of truth. Wherever we go, we share the truth of God with other people. That's the way of life. And we share it by two ways. By our words, by our deeds. How does the world know that we Christians live by the truth, proclaim the truth truthfully? They look at us, how we live our life. If we live our life according to the truth, then they say, okay, the truth they hold on to, they really take it to heart. So much so, they live it out. At least we are consistent. And being consistent is a virtue of truth. The truth has to be, there has to be correspondence between what's stated and what's out there. There's a correspondence. And the truth, there has to be consistency, internal consistency. So, when Jesus said, we cannot hide, we cannot run away, we have to put it up there and illuminate. And he's further, he concluded, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Here Jesus said, let your light shine before men. He was specifically having your good deeds in mind, not just words of truth, not just speaking the words of truth, but also living the words of truth, and to make it a reality, to make the truth of God a reality in our lives. Only then the word will have its ear to incline to our teaching, to our witnessing. So some of you may go to college, some of you will continue to the next grade, wherever you may be, remember what Jesus would have said to you. Be the salt, be that preservative, be that seasoning condiment, be that counterbalancing electrolyte. And to maintain the edge of saltiness, be pure, be of integrity, and be in a communal living, so you're not fighting the spiritual battle all by yourself. And secondly, be a living a lifestyle of light, a transparent lifestyle with no dark side, no double life, and also live in a mutually accountable, a mutually edifying lifestyle. And lastly, be the beacon of light, because the world we live in is dark. It needs God's light. And you are the agent to continue the passing on of the beacon of truth, God's truth. So don't squander that opportunity. Don't belittle it. Use it and speak boldly and act boldly. That's the message I have today for you. And I just pray that you truly will be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for your own word. Help us to be the salt of the earth and be the light of the world. Help us to be your children that bear God's pleasing witness in this dark age, in this depraved and crooked generation. Help us to be children of light. Help us to maintain our saltiness, spiritual saltiness, by living a lifestyle that is holy, by living out a character of integrity, and by living a communal life that's mutually accountable. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.